How about that? He's correct. It's me. Hi, this is Dr. Morgan. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials on a Saturday morning. The number here at the station is 903-586-5257. This program is called Health Essentials. I thought it was kind of amusing yesterday. A guy asked me, what do I do for a living? And as I started telling him, he said, oh, you're a handyman. And I just laughed and laughed. And I thought to myself, you know what? He's right. Whatever it takes, by whatever means necessary, using God's natural remedies to help the body to heal. If your health is not as good as it should be, then listen, the ball's in your court. You have to become your own advocate. If you do not take care of yourself, what do you expect? You expect to go to a doctor, then give you a magic drug or pill that's going to instantaneously turn everything around? No, it doesn't work that way. Somebody's trying to call, so we'll go to the phone lines. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning. Have a question.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
I have a daughter, and she's been married for 13 years, and 10 of them, she was on birth control, and now she's off it, but she was told she has endometriosis. So I was wondering if there's something that might be able to help her.
Yeah, number one, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, no, just something to conceive.
Okay, number one, endometriosis is always associated with autoimmune activity. And so okay. I know this is going to sound really simple, but she's got something that she's doing. It's a trigger that's driving mm-hmm. that. And mm-hmm. so the number one predictor of a woman that's going to develop endometriosis is how much a mental and emotional stress she has.
Mm-hmm.
So has she had a fair amount of stress in her life?
Yes, she does, her work.
Okay, hey, well, I'm not trying to get you to tell me every yes. But, yeah, so there's stress. So we've got to find a way to help manage stress better. The next thing, every case that I've ever seen of endometriosis, there's always a hidden food allergy. Sometimes it's mm-hmm. not so hidden. And so mm-hmm. what that means is if your daughter eats one particular food, let me just make up one. Let's say it's corn. Every mm-hmm. time she eats corn, her immune system starts to attack that. As if it's the enemy, or if it's an infection, or something that's bad, or toxic, or poisonous. So if she can find out what she's reacting to that's driving these autoimmune reactions, that would go a long way to greatly helping resolve this.
Mm-hmm.
Number next.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all the women that I've seen, usually endometriosis just about disappears and stops the moment they become pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever can be done to improve her levels of fertility is going to be a gold mine. So let me give you a couple examples.
Mm-hmm.
There is a hormone that is produced by her ovaries called progesterone. And mm-hmm. if you break the word progesterone down, it means it promotes gestation, which mm-hmm. is like critical. That's the only reason why I can't become pregnant is because I don't have any progesterone. That's just a joke. I don't have a uterus either. Just
mm-hmm.
But when a woman is low in zinc, she's not going to be able to make progesterone. And so
mm-hmm.
when a woman is under stress, she's going to start burning through her reserves of zinc at a faster rate than if she mm-hmm. wasn't under stress. And, of course, I know you've heard me say this a million times before, but two of the most common symptoms when a woman is low in zinc, she just craves foods that are sweet or salty, mm-hmm. or maybe both. Does that mm-hmm. sound like her at all?
No, she really, tries to eliminate carbs from her diet.
Oh, then she's doing great then.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some examples. The other thing that I see over and over again with endometriosis are usually low-grade chronic viral infections.
Mm-hmm.
Does she experience a fair amount of fatigue?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Then she's this always on the go.
well, she's a go-getter. She's like her mama, isn't she?
Well, yeah, a little bit.
Okay. Well, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. So
mm-hmm.
in order to solve this, number one, you've got to identify what is she eating that is just incompatible with the function of her hormones in her body. And
mm-hmm.
so whether that's dairy products or wheat or corn or something like that, we've got to mm-hmm. identify that. That could make
yeah.
it easy for her, because once that's out of the way, then mm-hmm. we can start the process of trying to get her female hormones under control. Yeah. And so there's a hormone called estrogen, and when there's too much of it, it sends a signal to grow, grow, grow. Mm-hmm. And so, you know that endometriosis has been shown to be impossible before a woman goes, before she begins her menses or the start of her menstrual cycle?
Well, one of the things she mentioned is that she has very heavy flows and for 10 days, and it's like, you know, she has to go to extreme measures to try to control the outflow.
Do you know if she has any dark, coarse hairs in her chin or her chest that she has to pluck out repeatedly?
No.
Okay. Most likely, she's got a very significant female hormone imbalance. One of them would be too much estrogen, not enough progesterone. And that's kind of what I was alluding to a while ago. If we could change that equation, if we could, for example, whole food vitamin C, zinc, selenium, they all help her ovaries do a better job of producing progesterone. But, see, stress is going to generate what's called cortisol. Cortisol is the chemical or the hormone of pure fear. It's agitation. So when she has a lot of stress, when cortisol goes up, what's going to happen is her body's going to start breaking down her muscle and converting the muscle into sugar, and that's going to cause her insulin and her estrogen to go up. And so, like the other day, for example, I was walking through the parking lot of Walmart, because I always park far out and just walk it in because I like to walk. But there was a young boy that was maybe 17 years old, but he was about 6'4" or 6'5", very tall, but he had a very large female-like chest, if you know what I mean. And so there's a hormone imbalance right there. Obviously, there's too much estrogen, because what estrogen does is it tells the body to grow, grow, grow. And so to solve this, we've got to start turning down some of the estrogen, and there's several ways of doing that. Let me give you an idea. Almost every aspect of your daughter's health and every man's health and every woman's health is going to be based on the types of beneficial bacteria that live inside of the lining of the gut. I mean, microbes are everywhere. And so for the most part, you're supposed to have a slightly acidic digestive tract. That's because good beneficial bacteria, what they do is they secrete a substance called lactic acid. And so when you have plenty of good beneficial bacteria and microbes, what happens is you start breaking down your food better. You start getting more nutrition from what you're eating. And so in one study, they tried giving women who had hormone levels that were too high. And let me just give you the simple example that we're talking about. If there's too little progesterone, but there's way, way, way too much cortisol and estrogen, then what you're asking for is you're asking for the conditions are right for developing endometriosis in a young lady. Okay, so how do they change that? What they did was they gave them types of vegetable fiber that would encourage the growth of beneficial bacteria. So that's going to be stuff like cabbage and broccoli and Brussels sprouts and kale. And if you needed fruit, I'd say cherries and strawberries, things like that. So we've got to find a way to tap into this to help her, but she's got an autoimmune condition. So unless we get the basics down, we got to find out what is she eating that's driving inflammation and autoimmune reactions in the body. It's probably going to be wheat or corn or dairy. That's going to be my top guess right now. Number two, we've got to find a way to get the estrogen levels lower. The minerals zinc, magnesium, and potassium, her liver needs those for one reason, to help detoxify and break down excess estrogen. If she has a deficiency of good beneficial microbes that produce lactic acid, then she can't break down estrogen as well. And so if we can just do these things, we can change the reality of what's going on within her body. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there's a start. We'll just have to figure it out now.
Well, I appreciate all your input.
You're welcome. I hope you have a great day, ma'am.
All right. Many blessings to you.
Oh, thank you so much. God bless you, too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I know that is a tough proposition to fix just really, really quickly over the phone, but if you can just come to terms with, okay, I have a female hormone imbalance. There is too much estrogen, not enough progesterone. What do I do to fix that? And Lord willing, we can fix that. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Dr. Lord, good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm blessed this morning. I have a question for you this morning.
Yes, sir.
I've been diagnosed with intestinal hernia, and I was wondering, was there anything that I could get to help me?
Now, what do you mean intestinal hernia? You mean abdominal wall hernia where the intestines are bulging through?
Yeah, that's what the doctor has said.
Okay, how big is it?
It goes and comes.
Okay, then here's what I want you to look up.
Mm-hmm.
If you go on to, there's a website you probably have never heard of before. It's called YouTube. I'm just joking. You've probably heard of YouTube. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to look up the term sports hernia, because yours comes and yours goes.
Right.
If you were to come to my office this morning, I have a book on my shelf that my mother gave me, and it's only on one topic. It's all about hernias.
Okay.
And I can tell you, if I show you this book, all the pictures are in black and white, and I'm telling you, you can't erase these pictures from your head once you see them. But they show you pictures of the worst hernias of all time, and I'm thinking, no, he doesn't need to see these. It'd be too much to think about. But a sports hernia is where there's a weakness somewhere along the abdominal wall or in those layers of muscle. And if there's a weakness there, it may be a sports hernia, and the sports hernias can be corrected. So one of the ways you correct that, there's a position, I think in yoga they call it the cobra position. You know what a cobra snake is, don't you?
Yeah, I've seen them, but I've seen the pictures of them, never saw them.
Okay, well, I've seen one before. I don't know if you know the greatest moment in television history, but I'm going to tell you right now, and I'm sure there's going to be some people that argue with me, but this is the most exciting, real television experience I've ever had in my entire life. Well, Macho Man Randy Savage was tied up in the wrestling ropes, and Jake the Snake Roberts pulls out a 15-foot-long cobra, and it bites him on his arm. What do you think about that? But the cobra, I think I just wasted your time for the last 20 seconds. The cobra position in yoga. I'm sorry. Can I apologize once again?
That's okay. Go ahead.
The cobra, if you look it up, it's incredible. The cobra position in yoga is one of the positions that you use to try to correct one of these hernias. And what you do is you just lay on your stomach and you kind of push up and arch your back. But what that does, it helps pull the colon back in place. This happens to me, I'm not going to say all the time, but let me say about two or three times a year. That's probably a pretty fair assessment. Somebody will have a hernia where it's just the intestines are bulging through, and I'll just say, okay, you want me to push it back in place? And it's just real easy. You can push it right back in place and get it back where it belongs.
Right.
But then the job is, you're trying to stretch and strengthen the collagen fibers so it can hold it in place. So the cobra position is one of the things I want you to look up. The next one is look up the term sports hernia. But if I was on YouTube, I'd probably type in, how do I correct an abdominal hernia? Just see what you come up with. They do have these belts that look like there's a leather disc or a pad that you kind of push against it to hold it in place. And what that's for is you're trying to create a window of opportunity to let your tissues mend back together. But then part two of the equation, do you remember when you were a little boy, your mother would cook fried chicken?
Yes. I
guarantee you, I do. My mom made the greatest fried chicken on the planet, none better. Mm-hmm. But when she would cook the fried chicken, she would leave the skin on there. All the bones were attached. My mother didn't make chicken tenders or chicken nuggets. That's baloney. It was always real pieces of chicken, right?
Right. Okay.
So when you eat chicken that's on a bone, or you eat the chicken skin, that's going to be collagen, and that's what your body needs to repair the hernia. And so if you needed maybe just a little bit of additional tissue support, you might look into taking like a collagen supplement.
Collagen, okay.
Collagen, I think it's spelled C-O-L-L-A-G-E-N, collagen.
Right.
If there's a weakness in your collagen, that's where it's easier for that to tear, and there can be lots of reasons. I mean, for all I know, your wife jumped out of the second room window and you caught her when the house is on fire, and that strained it and tore it. But then again, you saved her life, so you're a great husband. Am I right about that? And so if the other thing that I want you to consider is the human body cannot manufacture or make any vitamin C. It's got to be able to get it from its food source. So when you eat real foods that God himself has made and designed for us to be strong and radiant and healthy, then you're getting vitamin C. So if you eat fresh blueberries or strawberries or pineapple, cherries, those are great sources of vitamin C. If you got a fresh apple off a tree, that'd be a good source, or an orange or lemons. You know where I'm going with this.
Oh, yeah.
In order to mend damaged tissues, the body needs vitamin C, but it also requires zinc. Now, I don't know if you can tell if you bruise easy, but I'm guessing you can. Do you bruise easy?
Here lately, but it used to be.
Well, if you bruise easily, we might want to look at supplementing with vitamin C and also with some zinc. And if you do those things, that's just going to help bolster the ability of your body to mend that collagen back together. Collagen is easy to take. I'm sorry. Yeah.
You said natural vitamin C and zinc?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But
you can't, if you look at the label on the vitamin C, like if it's in tablet or capsule form.
Right.
If it says ascorbic acid, most likely it's made from one of two sources. The most likely is they take high fructose corn syrup and they react it chemically with what's called sulfuric acid. But when I hear the term sulfuric acid, I think about battery acid. Do you remember when you and I were boys? We'd pull up to the gas station, and every time we got gas, we'd pop the hood just to make sure the levels of, you know, water and acid were just right in the batteries, right?
Right. We used to, right.
I don't think I've checked my battery in about 40 years. I don't remember. When's the last time you checked batteries?
Oh, it's been a good while.
Yeah, it's been a good while. Uh-huh. But they're just using sulfuric acid to chemically react with high fructose corn syrup to convert it into vitamin C. But that, I don't know if that's real vitamin C. But if you look at the label and it says it comes from like organic lemons or oranges or something like that, there's a herb called Camu Camu. I think that's C-A-M-U, Camu.
A-M-U, uh-huh.
And there's another one called Acerola cherries.
Uh-huh.
I mean, Acerola cherries are one of the best sources of vitamin C of all time. You can actually, if you were to go on a website and just type in Acerola cherries, you can buy a bag of that stuff, and talk about awesome for healing the body. It's incredible.
Okay.
So these are the things that you should look at doing, and you can get better.
Okay, doctor. Okay, appreciate that. And,
you're welcome.
Listen, happy Mother's Day to you. Okay.
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay. Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, doctor.
I'm pretty sure he meant Happy Mother's Day to the mothers. That's what he meant. If you'd like to join me on the radio this morning, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. A hernia, if it's a slide hernia, those are fixable. Boy, are those fixable. But you have to use time, patience, and consistency. And you have to be very, very deliberate in your actions. Which, let's just say a person had a hernia, they probably should not volunteer to lay train tracks by swinging a sledgehammer this afternoon, or chopping or splitting firewood. Or maybe in modern times, taking the weed eater and kind of working back and forth up and down the fence rows. That might be a little bit too much torsion or twisting. Okay. Since nobody's calling, I want to read this to you right here. And to me, I just find this so fascinating. So, if you will, this comes from Annalise Schoeneck from the book Des Crudités Tatelianae. I think this has been translated from French. Okay. The digestive process has two distinctive features. Number one is the breaking down of ingested foods, and the other is building up of nutrients needed by the body. Okay. If the breaking down is incomplete, then the building up cannot proceed correctly, okay? In reality, we nourish ourselves not by what we eat, but by what we are capable of breaking down and transforming into nutrients the body can use. Of great importance in this process is the role played by the aromatic substances that are formed during lactofermentation. The aroma of lacto-fermented foods is the byproduct of certain substances present in infinitesimal amounts, but essential for the ultimate assimilation of the food to the body. Hippocrates expressed this principle with the words suavia nutriunte, which that which smells good nourishes and promotes healing and health. Thus, the role of these substances that make fermented foods taste good goes far beyond that of the gustatory pleasure and the stimulation of digestion to our general well-being. And actually, here's the part that I really want to get to, and I think if you just kind of hear this out, it'll start to make sense. What is astonishing is that lactic acid contributes to both processes, that of decomposition and that of reconstruction. Did you get that? On the one hand, it supplies digestive juices in the form of organic acids that help break down the foods we eat. And on the other, it activates the metabolic processes whereby these foods are transformed into new living substances. Lacto-fermented foods normalize the acidity of the stomach. I might pause there for a moment and just question everyone that's listening. Do you have heartburn? Do you have indigestion? Do you have acid reflux? Do you wake up at 2 in the morning with burning hot acids boiling up your throat? Do you have silent reflux where your lungs are filled with all this gunk and acid that belongs in your stomach but not up in your lungs? Okay. Lacto-fermented foods normalize the acidity of the stomach. And so if you think your stomach acids are too high or too low, well, then it hits both equations. If stomach acidity is insufficient, then it stimulates the acid-producing glands of the stomach. And in cases where acidity is too high, it has the inverse effect. Lactic acid helps break down proteins and thus aids in their assimilation by the body. Does a man that has a hernia need that? Absolutely he does. Do you need it? Absolutely. You're probably wondering, what are lacto-fermented foods? Well, sauerkraut would be a good example. And some people, they can tolerate dairy products well. It might be like a raw yogurt, or it might be a cheese or something like that, or kefir grains, or kefir milk, something like that. The decomposition in the stomach of organic acids, forms of iron, depends on the quality of hydrochloric acid present as well as the amount of vitamin C, which is why sauerkraut and other lacto-fermented vegetables rich in this vitamin have such a favorable influence. Lactic acid activates the secretions of the pancreas, which is particularly important for diabetics. Okay, so here's something for diabetics right here. Sauerkraut contains large quantities of choline. And choline is a substance that lowers blood pressure and regulates the passage of nutrients in the blood. Of course, choline has another interesting property in that it aids the body in the metabolism of fats. So if choline is lacking, fats accumulate in the liver. Anybody out there ever heard of a fatty liver? Okay. Sauerkraut also contains acetylcholine, which has a powerful effect on the parasympathetic nervous system. It helps reduce blood pressure, slows down the rate of a heartbeat. I think you've heard me say before that all the heart problems are usually in people that have a heart rate 82 or above. So if your resting heart rate is 102, that ain't good. We need to fix that. The acetylcholine, not only does it slow down the rate of your heartbeat, it promotes calmness and sleep. Does anybody out there need to be calmer? Maybe I could say less anxious. Anybody need to sleep better? as acetylcholine is destroyed by cooking. Raw sauerkraut and its juice is preferable to cooked. Acetylcholine also has beneficial effects on the peristaltic movements of the intestine. Sauerkraut and other lacto-fermented vegetables, thus, are recommended for constipation. Now, that's the end of the little article. But I can tell you this. If somebody walks in my door and they say, I have suffered horribly from constipation for years, well, they can't just flip a switch and wish it to go away. They have to create a completely different environment of the gut to help it regain its ability to work properly. Does that make sense? Of course it does. So if you were to go into, let's just say, one of these health food stores. I remember I went into Sprouts one time, and, you know, they have these open-air refrigerators where they can keep their products cool, but you can, there's no doors on them. You know what I mean. Sorry. But just looking at all the fermented things they had to offer, they had shredded beets. There were probably 5 or 6 different flavors of raw sauerkraut, everything from dill flavor to maybe dill pickle flavor. I just made that one up. They might have spicy, cucumber, all those things. And then you start getting into stuff like kimchi. Kimchi is an amazing substance. The Koreans, they know what they're doing. Kimchi is made from a substance called Napa cabbage, and I think the ingredients are, they use chili powder or chilies. That's what gives it kind of a red color. Onions, garlic. What else did they have? Oh, that's right, ginger. All these are fermented substances. That's why it's available in the refrigerator department, because, number one, it hadn't been pasteurized or cooked. When you cook and pasteurize the sauerkraut, it does not have that vital life force and energy that your body needs and craves. So, does anybody out there need help with their gut? Okay, then pay attention to this and consider consuming. What if you just had one forkful of either raw sauerkraut or the raw shredded fermented beets? I kind of dig those. I think they taste great. Of course, I like the color of them. You know, there's a lot of nutrients in beets, and there's a lot of nutrients in cabbage. They're just good for you. Yes, I know, you can say you don't like it, but what's going to happen if you take drugs for the stomach? Oh, my goodness. Well, number one, if you take a drug that messes with your stomach's pH, you're not going to absorb the nutrients that you need, and you're going to be vulnerable to all sorts of problems like blood pressure, heart, and diabetes. I'd say pretty severe vitamin nutrient deficiencies. I remember years ago, one study that I looked at, and let me tell you where I'm going with this. Vitamin B12 is a water-soluble vitamin. It's completely non-toxic. It's water-soluble. If you get any extra B12, guess what happens to it? Your body just kind of washes it out when you go to the bathroom and pass your urine. So it's very safe. But you've got to have B12 to regulate growth and healing and repair. As a matter of fact, your immune system, oh my goodness, it requires B12 just for your white blood cells to do their job. Now, let me give you one example of this. Years ago, a woman came to see me. I don't really remember. Let's just say 8 years ago, maybe 9. And her husband came, and he told me he wanted to tell me a story. And, of course, I love stories, so I wanted to hear it. He said that when he was a little boy, his mother passed away. I did not ask why did she die or how did she die. But he said that he was very young when she passed away, maybe a year and a half. If I get the story wrong, please forgive me, but this is pretty close to it. So he said that his father would continue to take him to church, and over the course of the next year or so, he met a woman at church. And he and this woman fell in love, so they got married. And I think they got married somewhere around maybe the 1 year mark after the anniversary of the death of his mother. And he told me that his father received a boatload of grief because all the other women at church felt like that he hadn't grieved long enough for his wife that had passed away. Okay? But this is the beautiful part of the story. He told me, even though he was very young, this woman that his dad married, she treated him as if he were her very own baby that she gave birth to. To me, that is beautiful. I love stories like that. And he told me that this was his mother. And you know what? He was right. He also told me the rest of the story. He said that when she was close to 70 years of age, she developed very significant dementia / Alzheimer's. And so she got so bad with the loss of brain function that she really couldn't even talk and communicate anymore. And he said she eventually, in this Alzheimer's care facility, she lost her ability to take care of her basic needs, and she couldn't stand and walk and or something like that. Just kind of play along with me here. He said she went through this period that she had horrible kidney infections and urinary tract infections and bladder infections. And he told me for 4 straight months she would just moan and groan in pain in her bed. I mean, it's like she can say, hey, this hurts. I'm dying over here. This is burning. What's my problem? Call me a doctor. She couldn't talk. And he said this had gone on for 4 months, and they tried intravenous antibiotics, oral medications. Nothing was working at getting rid of the kidney infections. And so he knew his mom was miserable in this Alzheimer's care facility. And I'm trying to think how the story went. I'm almost positive he said that one day, and I can't remember how this went, so just give me artistic license here. One day, he was visiting his mother, and she was moaning and groaning in pain, and a doctor walked down the hallway, but it wasn't one of the normal doctors. It was a neurologist. And you probably know full well the neurologist, that is the specialist of specialists when it comes to the human nervous system. And so they're going to specialize in treating and caring for people that have like Alzheimer's and dementia or maybe severe migraine headaches or any type of neurological condition, like a neuropathy. They've lost feeling. Anyway, that's a neurologist right there. So he pulls the neurologist to the side and says, hey, is there anything you can do to help my mama? And the way he tells the story, the doctor instantly, he ordered that she be taken off all antibiotics, even though she'd been on them for like 4 months. And they were all a complete, utter fail, total failure, didn't do anything. And what he ordered was, instead of that, he ordered a daily injection of vitamin B12, okay? Probably an intramuscular injection. And so whether they gave her a shot in her thigh or her backside or somewhere, the nursing staff, they followed the doctor's orders, and they gave an injection of vitamin B12 every day for 2 weeks. And I think he said on day 13, all the infections stopped and she was able to sit up in bed and sort of, you know, communicate for the first time in forever. And I thought, man, what a powerful story. And I remember years ago, I'm kind of switching gears here, there was a study, and this study showed the number one predictor on how somebody, I'm talking about a human being, was going to be able to respond properly to a vaccine of any kind, was going to be their vitamin B12 levels. Okay? Now, there is new research that is coming out showing people that are low in vitamin B12, oh my goodness, they are going to be the ones that have a horrific problem with blood clots forming once they get the COVID vaccine. Okay? Not trying to be negative, but I'm telling you how it is. If you're low in vitamin B12, you're going to have the worst go with getting a vaccine of any kind. And so if you don't want to have horrific side effects and you're determined you're going to get the COVID vaccines, you might want to load up with B12. You could actually go get sublingual methylcobalamin, and you could suck on that all day long in effort to kind of get ready for the vaccine if that's what you choose. It's not what I'm recommending, but, you know, do what you want. This is your body. You make the decisions for it. You know what I heard the other day? A man told a friend of mine that he is gonna die unless he gets the vaccine. He'll be dead if he doesn't get it. Folks, that's about the craziest thing I've ever heard before. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Just fine, Dr. Morgan. I'm calling because in the past, I heard you say that stevia was not a good sweetener.
Not if you got kidney problems. It just doesn't work.
Okay.
So if somebody's getting up to urinate 25 times a night, you know I'm exaggerating, but if a person is not used to getting up at all to urinate at night, which is a good plan, and all of a sudden they're getting up three times a night where they got to wake up and say, oh my goodness, I just went to the bathroom an hour ago. Then I start thinking stevia might be a substance they've added because it just irritates the kidneys.
Okay. What the sweetener, I'm trying to get rid of all sugar. What sweetener would you advise? I don't have any kidney problems, but I was just wondering if there's other.
Well, the number one sweetener that I'm going to recommend, and I'll answer your question in about three steps here. If you can get your pleasure from eating fresh or frozen cherries, or get it from an apple or blueberries or strawberries, that's the best way right there. Number two, if you wanted to use a little bit of a natural sugar that would actually have tremendous health-promoting benefits, then I would go with a raw honey. And I know that doesn't answer your question. The other one that you should try is monk fruit.
Okay. Monk, M-O-N-K?
Yes, sir.
Monk fruit.
It's only found in monasteries. I just made that up. It's not true.
Okay.
Sorry.
I have looked for monk fruit, but I've only found it as monk fruit and stevia.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. You can find monk fruit all by itself, but you may have to go to a health food store. But I'm going to tell you, the other day I walked down an aisle in a very large grocery store with the letter W in the front of it.
Okay.
It might be the largest store in Jacksonville. But anyway, they had monk fruit right on the shelf. It was kind of in a reddish package.
Like powder form?
It was crystalline form, almost like it was granulated sugar.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's good to know because I have migraines and I try to eliminate chocolate, sugar, flour, carbohydrates.
Have you ever tried taking an herbal remedy called kudzu?
As a matter of fact, yes, I heard this a few weeks ago. I'm taking kudzu and saffron.
Oh, well, have you seen any benefits thus far?
No, sir. I can't say that I have.
Now, when I say saffron, I meant your wife must serve it to you on a silver platter while you're in bed. I'm joking. Well, you know, there's no harm by trying those things, but saffron has got to be one of the most amazing spices of all time when it comes to decreasing inflammation anywhere in the brain.
Okay. Well, I will continue with that.
Okay,
and
good deal.
I really appreciate your program. We have listened to you for years, and you have been more of a help than any one doctor that we can.
Well, that is so nice of you. How long have you listened to this program?
20 years, I guess.
20 years. That's incredible.
My wife says, your voice doesn't age.
Is that because I make too many jokes? Anyway, no, thank you very much for your phone call. Tell your wife I said hello, and I wish you all the best. Wish her happy Mother's Day for me.
I sure will.
Good deal. You're welcome. Y'all have a great weekend.
Your wife.
Thank you very much. Okay. Bye-bye. All right. If you'd like to join me on the radio, the phone number here is 903-586-5257. You know, the other issue that I face day in and day out is you've got to come to terms with that your body is mainly composed of one unique particular substance. It's called water. Without water, nothing works right. Good morning. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good, but I'm a little confused on this lactic acid thing. I'm allergic to milk. I get bronchitis every time I drink milk or eat ice cream. Well, and they tell me it's because of lactic acid.
Well, that would be incorrect. It's because of a protein called lactalbumin and another protein called casein. That's what you're having allergies to. So if you eat a forkful of Bubby sauerkraut, that contains lactic acid.
I eat sauerkraut. Well, it don't make me sick.
Exactly. Well, I think we just solved the mystery. They may have told you that, but it doesn't change the truth. The truth is your body doesn't react well to dairy products, right?
No, it don't, except in Russia. But evidently I'm getting fresh milk, which doesn't have as much lactic acid developed. I don't understand any of that.
I don't think that's the point. No, I understand what you come from. They told you lactic acid is a deal, and that's not the case at all. You're reacting to... No. When you consume fresh milk when you're in Russia, you know what I think of when you say Russia? What? I think of those Christmas dolls where you unscrew one and there's a smaller one underneath, and then underneath that, you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Not really.
They're like little wooden dolls. They look like a barrel. And every time you open one, there's a smaller one that's inside of it.
Yeah. My granddaughter collects those. I get her a bunch every time I go.
That's got to be one of the greatest toys of all time because it invokes the imagination, right?
You're right.
So when you drink fresh milk from cows that aren't raised on on bovine somatotropin and all these chemicals, that's what the body's designed to take. But if you would just focus on every time that you eat, you have a forkful of sauerkraut, raw sauerkraut or kimchi or raw fermented beets or vegetables. Talk about one of the best things you can do. Now, that is lactic acid. Without lactic acid, you cannot properly digest your food and use the nutrients properly.
And all those questions about indigestion and reflux, I have every one of them, so... That sounds like the answer for that, too, huh?
Well, you know what? You can give it a shot. You can say, for the next 3 weeks, I'm going to eat one forkful of sauerkraut or kimchi before every meal, and I'm going to see what happens to my body.
All right. I'll do that.
Good deal. Thank you, sir. Have a great day.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All righty. There is a phone line open at 903-586-5257. You know what also I'm curious about? Well, let's go to the phone lines. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I had a question about my liver. The last time I had my blood work done, my liver enzymes were high.
Were they a little bit high or a lot high?
The ALTV was 81.
I'd say that's a little high.
Okay. And the AST was 46.
Yeah, a little high. And so most likely what you have is you have what's called a fatty liver.
Okay.
I'm not saying that to be mean to you.
No, it's okay.
So what recommendations did your doctor give you?
He said to eat real clean for a month.
What does that
mean? He said stay away from sugar.
I think that's a brilliant suggestion.
I really don't eat sugar. I mean, very rarely. I eat pretty healthy, and I've been listening to you for a long time. I try to drink the lemon juice water every single day. I eat raw beets almost every day. I was just trying to think of something else I could do, too.
Well, I don't know if you heard earlier this morning, it's just kind of like what I was studying before I came on the radio, but when you get raw sauerkraut or raw fermented vegetables, they have a very significant amount of a B vitamin-like compound called choline. You ever heard of choline?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, that's what choline does. When you're lacking choline, fat builds up in the liver.
Okay.
And so number next. If they did what's called a lipid profile usually measures the total cholesterol, the LDL lipoprotein, the HDL lipoprotein, and also triglycerides. Anytime triglycerides start to become a little bit elevated, then it's very easy under those conditions to deposit fat in the liver. And so if you remember looking at your triglycerides, if your triglycerides are between 50 and 80, then that's not the issue right there.
Yeah, they were 50.
Okay. So we've got to find out why the liver enzymes are elevated. And even if I can't figure it out over the radio, let me tell you what I would do if it were me.
Okay.
Okay. There is a common herb called milk thistle. It's got to be one of the most gentle herbs in the universe. So, like, if a mother just gave birth to a child and the child is spitting up everything inside and it can't tolerate mama's breast milk, we might give milk thistle to clean up mama's liver and thus clean up her milk so it's more palatable and easy for the baby to digest. Does that make sense?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And plus, if you and I drove up and down the highway, we could only see about a million milk thistle plants growing up and down the road. They're everywhere right now. And man, do the bees and bumblebees love those plants. I watch them all the time. I think it's incredible. So milk thistle is something that's going to help target and heal and repair your liver. Does that make sense?
Yeah. How much would you take?
Well, if you go to like a health food store, the simple the simple answer is just take what the manufacturer recommends.
Okay.
And that should be good. Another thing that I like a whole bunch is called dandelion.
Okay.
I think every single part of the dandelion flower is like so beneficial to the human being. One of my favorite stories was reading about the Chiricahua Apache Indian Geronimo. And you don't know this, but him and it, well, you probably do, but him and his men, they were masters at evading Santa Anna's army and the U.S. Cavalry on foot. I mean, the guys could cover some ground. They were also a little bit motivated. They were running for their lives, but they would always stop. They did, but they would stop. And they would pick dandelions, and they would live off those. They would eat the roots, they would eat the leaves, they would eat the flowers, every bit of it. Okay. And so dandelion is so good for the liver. It's just unbelievable. I don't even know why the company Roundup puts a picture of a dandelion as something that should be killed. As a matter of fact, isn't that ironic? The very thing that would give life to your body is the very thing they want to kill. How does that make sense? Now, if you're out in public and you see a dandelion, maybe you shouldn't try to pick those leaves. Who knows what they've sprayed on it or what dogs have been by in the neighborhood. But if you're outside and you see a dandelion, it's pretty clean. Wash it off and eat it. But you could even, I mean, even if you want to cheat, you won't get as much benefit, but it's a good alternative. You can consume what's called dandelion root tea. If you wanted to consume 3 or 4 cups of dandelion root tea a day, that would be incredible. Now, the other thing that I'm really, really thinking of, I want to try to give you a sales pitch right here.
Okay.
There's a type of a juicer that's called a masticating juicer.
Okay.
It turns real slow. It's quiet, but I think it's so good because it doesn't generate a lot of heat to destroy the nutrients when you run vegetables through it. But if it were me, if I had what you're describing, what I would do is I would run toward that and say, what am I going to do? Oh, I'm going to get a masticating juicer. And if you had access to like $90, you could probably buy a pretty good one off any website that you could think of. But a masticating juicer is just a very slow-turning auger-type screw wheel in there. They're so easy to clean up. A lot of people say, I don't like juicing because it's too hard to clean up. Always saying in my breath, suck it up and do it. You need to get well. But a masticating juicer, you could actually run 4 to maybe 6 ribs of celery through it.
Okay.
If you told me you wanted a little bit better flavor, you could take an apple and run through it also.
Okay.
And then, now the celery, I'm telling you, sister, celery is one of the greatest things to heal your liver of all time.
Ooh, okay.
I don't want to make it a panacea, but I would say it's a good aid. So after you run the apple and the celery, I am very, very fond when you're trying to detoxify of using cilantro.
Okay.
Now, cilantro does not juice easily. You may have to kind of cram it and wad it to a ball before you shove it through the juicer to get the juice out of it.
But can you just eat it or no?
Yeah, absolutely you can.
I like cilantro.
Listen to you. You've already figured out eating the raw cilantro is going to work, so just bypass my juicing plan for you. But if you would, you just take a paring knife. I like the hawksbill knives that are curved. Take mm-hmm. the outer rind off of a lemon, leave as much of the white pith as possible, run that through the juicer, and then take maybe an inch or so of fresh ginger root, run okay. that through. If you drank one of those every day, your liver is going to start to wash and scrub and get that gunk out of it so it can become clean. When your liver enzymes are elevated on your level, you just got to understand that means there's inflammation in there. But God has designed your liver to repair itself and to heal if you give it a chance. So your doctor was completely right. If you avoid sugar, I would take it maybe one step further. If I could talk you into eating one green salad a day, that will go a long way to helping you.
Okay. I actually try to do that because I've been listening to you.
Well, do you like avocados?
Yeah, I put avocado on it and onion, and I buy the mixed spring mix that's organic.
Man, this is sounding pretty good.
It's good.
How many sardines do you put on there?
No. that's the one thing I'm not real fond
you
of.
You draw the line on the sardines, do you? But the green salad is going to be very alkaline ash, and it's going to help decrease the gunk in your liver over time.
Okay.
If you told me you wanted to eat french fries, I'd say perfect. Make them baked sweet potato fries. We'll call that good. Because
okay.
sweet potatoes are very, very good for the liver. Avocados are. Lemon juice is amazing. I could probably spend the entire program talking about, oh my goodness, let's use fresh lemon juice and let it do what God designed it to do, which is to wash and heal and scrub your liver clean.
Okay.
So if you,
yeah, maybe I'm just not drinking enough of it.
Well, if you use a whole lemon and you put a chunk of ginger in there, ginger is absolutely one of my most favorite remedies of all time. And I don't have the information in front of me, but you know that people get infections they can't get rid of, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, my go-to when there's infection from hell that won't go away is you got to use fresh ginger root to scrub the infection out of your body.
Okay.
I had a woman call me on the phone yesterday, and I just want her to know that I appreciate her so much for giving me feedback that she's been testing positive for having this kidney infection that won't go away, and the doctor's given her major grief over it. Well, she gave it, we had 8 or 9 or 10 days to work on it before her next test, and the doctor was saying, you know, you're in big trouble if you don't do what I say. Well, she just gave this a go for like 8, 9, 10 days, and all of a sudden, no more infection. But all I did was help her change the environment so the kidneys could heal.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we need to do with you. So one
okay.
green salad a day. If you could make your own salad dressing that involved maybe unfiltered extra virgin olive oil, you could use apple cider vinegar, you could use fresh lemon juice.
Okay.
Sesame seeds. Am I getting into radical territory and talking about that stuff? But ginger.
No, I actually do the apple cider vinegar to make my salad dressing. I really like that.
Oh, that is so good.
I need to get some sesame seeds. I heard you talking about that too, being good for the blood. And
it is. It really, really is. And so if you would set your mind like Flint that you're going to walk for 30 minutes twice a day, then we're going to get somewhere. Because what we need to do is we need to radically increase the amount of blood flow through the liver.
Okay.
And I realize we all kind of get in ruts, myself included. Or life happens and you have some stressful events and maybe you're not in your normal ideal routine. But if you can get out and start moving your body and getting more blood flow, that's going to be your ticket. The faster that blood goes through your liver and kidneys, the cleaner your blood's going to be.
Okay.
So what I'm telling you is you have really dirty blood. I'm just joking when I say that. So if you're not walking, just start walking 30 minutes twice a day, morning and evening. And that'll go a long way to healing your body. I think you'll be really impressed.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I have a low white blood cell count, too, so I guess my blood isn't too good.
Well, I don't want to say it that way, but you've got a very significant issue where you've got a burden on your immune system. And so we've got to fix that. I mean, so a low white blood cell count, you got to get that back up to normal again. And that may be like a whole different conversation, but I think you've got plenty to work on right here.
Okay, I sure appreciate your time, Dr. Morgan.
You're welcome. Thank you very much, ma'am. I appreciate yours, and happy Mother's Day.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, I think there's easily enough time for another caller, so if you'd like to call me at 903-586-5257, I will get you right in. So the study I was referring to, it was involving fresh ginger to get rid of infections. I'm sorry. Let's go to the phone lines here. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. I know you don't have much time. I have a client that has been diagnosed with acute pancreatitis. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering what could I recommend to her naturally that she needs to take, because she does not want to get on any prescription drugs.
Well, what you got to do is you got to find out why they have acute pancreatitis. So let me just tell you what I've found over and over again. And believe me, I'm not trying to be offensive, but does she drink a lot of alcohol?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's number one. It's incompatible with healing pancreatitis if you're drinking alcohol.
Okay.
One thing that could work, there is an herb called gymnema that's spelled G-Y-M, N as in Nelson, E-M-A, gymnema.
Okay.
Every time she wants to drink a glass of wine or have a beer or drink vodka, if she can only do one thing, just tell herself to suck on a gymnema tablet for 2 minutes. That'll fix it right there for her. She won't be drinking.
Okay. Okay, Dr. Morgan.
Number next. Did the doctor say she's got a gallstone that's lodged in her pancreatic duct?
She didn't say that. So all she told me is that she has been diagnosed with an acute pancreatitis. And she's always been bothered with her gut.
Yeah. And if she's always been bothered with the gut, there's been the two or three worst cases of pancreatitis that I've seen this year have always been related to a food allergy. And I can tell you it's been wheat every single time. You know how they take wheat and they ferment it and make beer out of it?
Right.
So it's not always because a person's eating like bread and donuts or crackers. It may be because they're consuming a wheat-based beer.
Okay.
And so, I'm not trying to be impossible here, but you love her and you want her to get well and to heal and to be restored.
Yes.
That's what I like about you. You're so empathetic and sympathetic to your fellow man. You always lift up and encourage other people. I think it's a great quality.
Thank you, Dr. Morgan.
You're welcome. So, if she could start juicing that same formula I told the lady before, if she could juice an apple and four ribs of celery and one lemon and a chunk of ginger root, that would go a long way to healing her pancreas very, very quickly.
Okay.
If I was going to give her one thing that might heal it, my mind goes toward the fruit called the pineapple.
Oh, okay.
Talk about delicious. If you threw some chunks of fresh pineapple in the blender, if they were frozen, and you poured in a little bit of coconut milk into it, it'd come out like it was pure ice cream, and you'd say, I am not eating this wicked remedy that Dr. Morgan recommended for me until they taste it. And they'd say, Dr. Morgan is pretty smart. I think I can eat this medicine right here. But the pineapple has a very high concentration of enzymes that help decrease inflammation of the pancreas. So we'll make her some pineapple ice cream.
Okay, Dr. Martin, that is fantastic. I love all these ideas.
Oh, good. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Martin.
Yes, you have a great Mother's Day weekend.
Thank you.
God bless y'all.
Thank you.
All righty. Bye-bye.